all the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid. St. Eric Lane, and welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get five-star stupidity for you. So give it a five-star rating, and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. Well, if you've got a good invention that's really stupid, I want to talk about that too. And, well, case in point, the Swiss Army knife. I mean, we've all at one point in our life had Swiss Army knives, right? Well, now some Swiss Army knives are about to become a little less dangerous and a little more MacGyver-y. The Swiss company that makes the legendary Swiss Army knife is called Victorinox, and well, they're in the early stages now of developing the first range of, get this, bladeless products. Bladeless products, that's right. Now, there's a reason. There's been a plague of knife crime in some European countries, yeah, which has led to several countries adding stricter bans on or restrictions on carrying knives, like the Swiss Army knives. Of course, America's not one of them. I mean, we got bigger problems with guns. There are already more than 400 different types of Swiss Army knives targeting different jobs, outdoor activities, and sports. But until now, they've had at least one blade. It kind of sounds like an oxymoron, a bladeless knife. Anyway, there's no specifics now on these new bladeless knives or even when they're going to be available. But Victorinox says that they'll be acting more like a tool where a blade isn't necessarily or usually required. You know, like, you know, we got Swiss Army knives for cyclists or golfers, you know, I don't know. I mean, they probably don't need any new ideas. I mean, there are huge Swiss Army knives that have nearly 100 functions. But look, if they did need some clever ideas, they could just watch old episodes of MacGyver. You probably already heard about this. After 114 years, the Boy Scouts of America is changing their name, rebranding it as Scouting America, to reflect their ongoing commitment to welcome every youth and family in America to experience the benefits of Scouting. It goes into effect on their 115th birthday, February the 8th of 2025. Now, girls have been allowed in the Scouts since 2018. Over 6,000 have already got Eagle Scout status, so there's really nothing changing there. I mean, the point is just to make sure people know that it's not just for boys. Now, the CEO calls it a, quote, simple but very important evolution as they seek to ensure that everyone feels welcome in Scouting. Now, more than a few people online have pointed out there's already something out there called the Girl Scouts. So is this really necessary? I mean, most don't realize the two groups are not actually affiliated. The Boy Scouts of America was founded in 1910. The Girl Scouts then launched 2 years later and still caters exclusively to young women. But no word yet from them on the new rebrand. I know they weren't exactly thrilled when the Boy Scouts allowed girls in back in 2018. It really hurt their recruitment efforts. But frankly, look, I mean, when is the two going to finally merge? That's what I want to know. But nevertheless, welcoming guys and girls from 6th grade all the way up to 18 years old, get ready for Scouting America. Scouting
America. A new brand in Scouting.
The Boy Scouts have a new brand.
Not just for boys anymore.
Scouting America.
Hey!
Boys and girls across the land.
Hey.
Commitment to inclusion. We welcome everyone.
Are you a parent of a scout itching to camp in tents? Hold your marshmallow. With crazy hormones and raging testosterone, it may not be the best idea, because the great outdoors could be a hotbed for other kinds of wildlife.
Ooh la la.
Maybe it's time to go back to the good old days of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, where tents were made for camping.
Oh dear, I think we all know what that means. Boing.
Scouting America.
Yeehaw.
Making camping safe for everyone.
No way.
Yes way!
Woo-hoo.
Now, there's some famous names who were Boy Scouts, like Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Michael Jordan, Steven Spielberg, Jack Black, Chris Pratt, John Bon Jovi, Harrison Ford, even, well, John Wayne, you expect John Wayne to be, Bill Gates, Martin Luther King Jr. In fact, 6 Boy Scouts have gone on to become president. Gerald Ford is the only one that made Eagle Scout. But other scouts who became president were JFK, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and yes, Joe Biden. I'm wondering if he just made it past Weebelo. I don't know. Yeah. Here's someone who has been scouting out their neighbor's house, and they don't like the cats sitting in the window. Yeah, a pair of neighbors have got their claws out over this squabble. This cat lover revealed that their neighbor posted a passive-aggressive note through their door asking them to keep their feline friends away from their window. That means their own window. The unnamed recipient of the letter was left unsure what to do after reading the request, so they turned to Reddit in a bid for clarity and asked other Redditors how they thought they should handle the matter. Now, the note was shared alongside of a picture of their cat and left people, well, pretty much astounded. The note read, quote, "Can you please keep your cats out of the window? They're causing my dog to sit in the window and bark all day long. I work from home, so this is very difficult. Thanks." Now, captioning the post, the user writes, "I own my own home, and I have three cats plus two new babies I found outside. Two of them love to sit in my window, and when it's nice outside, they do nothing but sleep. And we keep the windows open as we don't yet have AC." The note's gone viral now, and more than 12,000 people have become involved in the conversation. Frankly, why do I have got to worry about my cats in my own window when it's your dog doing the barking? Maybe you should maybe invest in a barking collar for your dog. Better yet, maybe a barking collar for the dog's owner. Yeah, I've had a few pineapple neighbors like that. And I've been behind a few pineapples on the highway, too, driving their car. But now we've got pineapples buying a $400 pineapple. And if you're buying this, you're officially got too much money. Or you're just really bad at budgeting. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but there is now the $400 pineapple that's trending online. The fruit company Del Monte originally unveiled it earlier this year, but it was only available in China. But now you can get it here in the U.S. It's called the Ruby Glow Pineapples. And the only remarkable thing about these things that they're just slightly red on the outside. They describe the inside as bright yellow, and they say that it has a sweet flavor. So pretty much like regular pineapples. Even Del Monte describes the taste as similar to their normal pineapples. I guess pineapple snobs might argue that it's not normal. I mean, it's a hybrid that's supposed to be sweeter and slightly less bitter. Are normal pineapples bitter? I don't know. But the real reason I guess they're so expensive is that they're only selling 5,000 of them this year and 3,000 next year. So maybe it's a scarcity thing. They might even be cheaper, but the one place that you can buy these pineapples now is on the produce site called Melissa's.com for the low, low price of just $396 plus shipping. Just a reminder in case you've not been to the grocery store lately. A normal pineapple runs you about $3. Okay. All right. Well, there's a California runner who was stripped of his marathon title because he accepted a cup of water from his father, who was patrolling the 26.2-mile route on his bicycle. He is Esteban Prado. He won the Orange County Marathon in 2 hours, 24 minutes, 54 seconds. But he was disqualified shortly after crossing the finish line for his father's involvement, which officials deemed as, quote, unauthorized assistance. He received unauthorized assistance from an individual on a bicycle in violation of USA track and field rules and race regulations. So here's Esteban talking about getting disqualified and why he needed his dad to give him water.
3 to 4 month period of just 100-mile week trainings, just kind of balancing that with like work and also just including that in the weekend because I was first place. A lot of the volunteers were just like scrambling, like, oh, there's first place. And I mean, by the time I got there, like they were barely like grabbing the water. So a lot of the time, the water stations, they really had nothing for me.
The race director, Gary Kutchar, he says, "We take these rules seriously to ensure fairness and the integrity of the event for our competitors." Now, according to the USATF rulebook, runners are allowed to receive water from the designated hydration stations along the race route. So 33-year-old Jason Yang from California then was awarded first place after he finished 17 seconds behind Prado's mark. It was his third marathon win. So look, Dad, if your son is running a marathon, Just keep the water to yourself. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, there's one FedEx driver who got fired because the UFC president and CEO could not keep a video to himself. The employee was videoed launching packages into the back of a FedEx truck by Dana White. Now, the video, which White originally posted to his Instagram story, shows this FedEx employee, I won't say tossing, but like firing these boxes into the back of his truck. It's like, boom, boom. It's like, boom. He had a stack of boxes and was like firing them off like, And then White could be seen laughing as he says this, quote, "FedEx will get your crap there, but we'll F it up." Now, a FedEx spokesman says, "The behavior depicted in the video is unacceptable and inconsistent with the professionalism FedEx demonstrates every day. We are committed to treating our customers' packages with the utmost care, and this driver is no longer providing service for our company as a result of this behavior. So thank you to Dana White for getting a guy fired," because he was firing off packages in the back of his truck. Well, there's some fiery reactions from a student art contest at the New Hartford Central School in Utica, New York. The big controversy: allowing the display of a piece of art that some say is racist. Now, this artwork is reportedly a parody of cereal advertisements. Okay, the faux cereal product is called Monkey Premium Cereal. But the bigger problem here, the artwork features an image of NBA star LeBron James dunking a basketball next to the bowl of cereal. The slogan on the mock advertisement reads, quote, "You can jump high and dunk like LeBron James if you eat Monkey Premium Cereal." Okay. Now, some parents questioned, how could the school allow this art contest to go on display at the school featuring the word monkey coupled with this picture of a famed black athlete? How could that be entered into this contest and be put on display? It's a long-standing racist trope, to equate blacks with monkeys. And a lot of folks were just shocked that the school didn't put a stop to the student's use of LeBron James' image in the monkey cereal artwork. Well, New Hartford Superintendent of Schools Dr. Cosimo Tangora said the school is investigating the incident and noted that the student was contacted. He added the school would not divulge specific details regarding the student, and he also seemed to wave off the incident by saying the officials are, quote, using this as a teachable moment. My question is, who are they teaching? That's the big question. I don't know, but anyway. Well, this 37-year-old Illinois man needed to be taught something. He got arrested in Frederick County there after a police pursuit where he allegedly exceeded 100 miles an hour, hit two vehicles, and then bit a state trooper following this standoff. It was the morning of the incident when it happened. The troopers observed this black Ram pickup truck on I-81 driving recklessly, so they initiated a traffic stop. The driver, Marco Cruz Monroy, failed to stop and sped off instead, at which the state police engaged in a pursuit. So during that pursuit, Cruz Monroy struck a trooper's patrol vehicle, which rendered that inoperable. Then he also reportedly went over 100 miles an hour and began to remove all of his clothing. Did that help to, like, streamline the chase? I don't know. Anyway, maybe made the truck a little bit lighter, but he tossed his clothes out the truck window while he was running from police. The pursuit came to an end finally in Frederick County when Cruz Monroy's vehicle struck a civilian's car, and that sent his truck airborne and crashed into a grassy median. But still naked, Monroy barricaded himself inside the truck. And in the video of the incident that was obtained by the Winchester Star, he can then be seen getting out of the truck later and climbing into the truck bed as the police approached him with guns drawn. He then appears to be tased and is finally carried into an ambulance. Kind of suck being tased while you're naked. I'm not sure where they tased him, but anyway. And while restrained in the ambulance then, Cruz Monroy then bit and latched onto a trooper's finger. Cruz Monroy was taken to Winchester Medical Center. He's been charged with driving while intoxicated, and he also was charged with assaulting an enforcement officer. The guy probably learned a valuable lesson. I don't know. But look, the only time you should ever take a bite out of finger food is at a cocktail party. But frankly, on second thought, maybe this guy was driving drunk, so maybe he just should avoid the cocktail parties altogether. Well, there's been an analysis of some selfies that have been shared publicly on Twitter and Instagram, and it has found that women living in environments with higher equal inequality and where people are preoccupied with their relative social standing and status, they are more likely to publish sexy selfies. Now, these areas also had higher sales of goods and services related to female physical appearance enhancement. These researchers who did this work, and trust me, I mean, you have to be, you know, college educated to do this kind of thing. They collected all the sexy selfies. These are sexualized self-portrait photographs that were available on Twitter and Instagram over a one-month period on a global scale. It resulted in about 500,000 posts, of which 68,562 could be geolocated to either a U.S. city, county, or one of the 113 nations around the world. These researchers took this data on gender and income inequality, gathered all this up for the regions, and then analyzed the relationship between these factors and the number of sexy selfies in each region. They probably went to college to learn how to do this, too. Well, they found a clear association between income inequality and the number of sexy selfies in the area. So I guess here you have it. I'm taking sexy selfies of myself because I have income inequality. If I had a better job, I'd probably put on more clothes. I don't know. Well, the researchers investigated further whether the expenditures on women's clothing and beauty salon services were more strongly linked to income inequality or gender inequality. They hypothesized that spending on female appearance enhancement is a clear indicator of the cultural emphasis on female physical and sexual attractiveness. The results indicated such expenditures were also associated more with income inequality than with gender inequality. This study supposedly sheds light on the social origins of cultural sexualization of women. But it also needs to be noted that the results were based on data from specific social websites, so they may not fully represent the general population. Look, the stuff you see on Twitter and Instagram doesn't represent the general population, okay? But anyway, though most of the sexy selfies were posted by women, some did come from men sharing the sexy selfies originally posted by women. They didn't analyze the gender inequality of sexy selfies by men, so what does that say? Well, if you're one of these people that don't trust artificial intelligence not to steal your job, would you trust AI to set you up in an arranged marriage? Well, dating apps now have streamlined the matching and meeting process, for better or for worse. And now, AI could even go on those dates for you. That's right. The founder of Bumble says it could be possible in the near future to have an AI dating concierge. That's right. Essentially, an avatar. And that concierge could go on the date with another person's dating concierge. So rather than having your first date, you get to have your two avatars date each other to decide whether or not you should go on the first date. And they wouldn't have to waste money, wouldn't have to waste a whole evening on a bad fit. They could breeze through hundreds of these, quote, dates in no time. Then they would give you the person or people that you should meet in person. Dating apps already use data and algorithms to help you find matches. So it's really unclear how these virtual AI dates would even enhance that. Maybe they would be and have virtual conversations with each other, you know, make some small talk together. And the AI could make determinations based on how the other person's avatar likes yours. Maybe your avatar has bad jokes and you can see if it's, received well from the other person's avatar. You know, I mean, my head's spinning too fast right now. You might be able to stay up all night talking to your concierge about the process. So did they like me? Did they talk about me? Did they like my jokes? You know, I've just come out of a breakup. I've got commitment issues. Oh, you know, you could get advice from your own avatar about how you could possibly date the other person based upon the other person's avatar. You follow me on all this? I mean, all this information could further train this concierge, and the AI could also then give you tips and suggestions about how to communicate with dates in real life, as opposed to just going out on a first date and learning it the old-fashioned way. Great. So now AI isn't just stealing your day job, they're also stealing your role as a BFF. Look, to be clear, none of this concierge stuff is in the works right now, but they are talking about it and how it could become the future of dating sooner maybe than later. And my question is this, do these concierges put out on the first date?
I'm open to talking about anything, but love talking about surviving in the stupidity that's always around us. And if you're insane enough to ask, I'm insane enough to reply. I'd love to hear from you either by leaving a voice message or a written message. And you can even do that at podcast.insaneericlane.com. Leave any comment you have from a podcast or even a question you have. I'll be happy to address either one. Your questions or comments might even be played and or even talked about in a future podcast episode. And if you or someone you know would like to join in on a podcast, you're more than welcome to participate. You can download the Spotify for Podcasters app on your phone, and you can do that just as simple as a phone call. Or I can even send you a link that you can actually participate from the website. You can download the app to your favorite app store and add that podcast to your favorites. You can also email me with comments, questions, requests at shoutout@insaneericlane.com. And of course, should you certainly subscribe to the podcast if you listen on Apple, iHeart, Breaker, Google, Verbo, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, or whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Don't forget to follow me also on Facebook and X. Just look up the handle @InsaneEricLane.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's The Week in Review.
Columbia University announced that it would not hold its main commencement ceremony following those weeks of campus protests. So now graduates won't even get to enjoy the procession right before starting the new job at Starbucks. These students won't have housing anymore. Well, unless, of course, we're talking about tents on the campus's front lawn. A new survey is out of the UK. It's finding that a quarter of Gen Z have never answered their phones, which kind of makes sense because it's not like anyone's calling them for a job interview or anything. When asked what they did when their phones rang, they just said they simply ignored it, which is what everybody else does when Gen Z decides to talk, too. Police announced that an outbreak of gang violence forced cops in Chicago to abruptly cancel the second city's annual Cinco de Mayo parade, which is kind of unreal because usually the only dangerous things at Cinco de Mayo parades are the handles of Jose Cuervo. Yeah, things are pretty ugly in the Windy City. These days you even need bulletproof sombreros. An 11-day Bear-a-Dice nude cruise is set to sail from Miami in 2025, which is great news for people looking to trade in beach balls for human balls. The travel company Bear Necessities is collaborating with cruise company Norwegian Cruise Line to launch an 11-day cruise that will travel from Miami to the Caribbean. So get ready to see plenty of coconuts and also some tropical fruit. A faulty dishwasher forced the interruption of an orchestra concert in Hamburg, Germany. But luckily nobody in the audience noticed because they were all asleep. Yeah. The broken appliance on the 13th floor of the concert hall triggered a fire alarm, which forced the evacuation of the entire building in the middle of the ongoing performance. And you've simply never seen so many happy husbands who were dragged to a show. Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, returned to theaters and landed at number 2 over a weekend box office chart, even though most people consider it a huge pile of number 2. Whoopi Goldberg admits in her upcoming memoir, Bits and Pieces, My Mother, My Brother, and Me, that she once had a serious addiction to cocaine, which would explain her affinity for the Biden family, I guess. Whoopi says the only drug she messes with anymore is pot, and ongoing marijuana use would certainly explain the things that come out of her mouth. And during his Netflix roast, Tom Brady was quick to shut down comedian Jeff Ross's joke about Robert Kraft and massage parlors. I guess some of the things are a little too below the belt, which Kraft sure knows a lot about. Luckily, the rest of the roast went off without a hitch. You could say this production truly had a happy ending. Ross said that Kraft loved the irreverent massage joke that sparked Brady's reaction, just like Kraft's massage therapist, though the joke didn't rub him the wrong way. It turns out Robert Kraft is actually a pretty good sport. He somehow appreciates a good set of jokes even more than a good set of hands. Our South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem tried to tell the story of how she shot her dog in her first book released a couple of years ago, but her publishing team edited out the anecdote. I guess you could say that they really killed that story. all of this chatter over the past few weeks has got me wishing that Celebrity Deathmatch was still a thing, because what would be better than Kristi Noem versus Commander Biden? Stormy Daniels appeared as a witness in Donald Trump's hush money trial, and the judge was caught off guard when she asked if there'd be a hung jury. And a new poll finds that Americans are reluctantly spending $500 a year tipping. And this isn't what most people hoped for when someone asked them to give just the tip. The poll found the average respondent reluctantly tips $37.80 a month due to pressure of tipping options presented to them. But look, if these people folded under pressure anymore, they'd be on the starting roster for the Buffalo Bills. And a new study finds that major cities worldwide face destructive termite invasions. I mean, it's bad, but look, it's nice to hear about something with wood in its mouth that's not named Kardashian. An ex-con has been convicted of attacking his girlfriend with a pink dildo after she derided him as a limp weenie in need of Viagra. And luckily, the cops arrived quickly to examine this suspicious package. This guy is only 38 years old, yet somehow he needs even more Viagra than the president. A Southern California resident shared a video of the moment a family of bears visited their backyard so the mother could take a little dip in the pool. Kind of a scary scene nonetheless, but it was nice to see a big animal in a pool who isn't a cast member of The View. Disney's Bob Iger announced new focus on quality over quantity in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with a cap on annual TV series and films. This is kind of wild because it's the first time quality and Marvel have ever been used in the same sentence. Tom Selleck is worried he will no longer be able to afford his plush 63-acre California ranch once the series Blue Bloods comes to an end, which means Tom will have to do what all Californians do now, move to a neighboring state and inflate the home prices. Donald Trump actually abided by his gag order and did not mention Stormy Daniels in some post-courtroom remarks. But still, nobody on this planet gags more than Stormy herself, you know. Trump was fined another $1,000, bringing the total of $10,000 in gag order violation fines, which is how much Stormy actually charges by the hour. And President Biden nearly suffered another embarrassing fall after navigating the short stairs on Air Force One ahead of his campaign trip to Wisconsin. But with all the beer they drink, the citizens of Wisconsin, they're probably used to people falling over. And a new survey finds most borrowers delay major life events because of student loan debt. And, you can talk to them about it when you pull up to the drive-through window at your local Starbucks. Now, about 29% of student borrowers have delayed buying a home. 28% have put off purchasing a car as a result of student debt. But look, to be fair, nobody can do these things even without student debt, huh? And animal control officers and public works employees in New Jersey came to the rescue of a kitty found trapped in a storm drain. It absolutely stunk. And, of course, I'm just referring to the state of New Jersey in general. But this cat really clogged up the pipes, kind of like what happens when former Governor Chris Christie's house, when he eats too much Panda Express. And Air Canada is reportedly one of the lowest-ranked airlines when it comes to customer satisfaction in North America, which is absolutely incredible because Spirit and Frontier exist. I mean, you can't blame people for hating Air Canada. After all, they mainly serve Canadian beer. Director Pete Farrelly will helm I Play Rocky, which tells the story of a young Sylvester Stallone and his efforts to make the first Rocky movie back in 1976. And, of course, luckily for movie fans, it is not about the making of Rocky V. The movie will follow Stallone's refusal to sell his script unless he plays the lead. But, look, the most surprising part, I think, about this whole revelation is learning that Stallone knows how to read and write. A man was arrested recently for attempting to break into Will Smith's Los Angeles property. It was truly shocking for everyone in the home, which included Jada Pinkett Smith and her unnamed boyfriend. Big celebrities pay, huge money for all this security, yet random creeps still get into their property. Talk about a slap in the face. What, too soon? Oh, well. The NBA fined Denver Nuggets guard Jamal Murray $100,000 for throwing multiple objects in the direction of a game official during live play. But look, Nuggets fans were glad that he did it because it was the only good shot he had all game. President Biden claimed that voters were wrong to blame him for high inflation because, quote, it was 9% when I came into office. when in fact it actually was just 1.4%, which is also the percentage of his brain that's still functioning properly. Biden said that high inflation was a result of corporate greed and shrinkflation after previously blaming COVID-19 supply chain issues and Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Look, Joe blames everybody but himself, which must mean that he identifies himself as a millennial. Firefighters in Florida were called to a Starbucks to eject an unruly customer from the drive-thru. An alligator. Yeah, customers were horrified. And after looking at coffee prices, the gator was pretty scary, too. Yeah. Hey, look, maybe this gator was there to apply for a job. I mean, after all, he might be a University of Florida gator who majored in gender studies. A group of rowdy Tennessee high school students went a little too far during their senior prank as they trashed classrooms and hallways in a wild frenzy that resulted in pretty devastating damage. But look, these kids can't help clean up the mess because they're on the way to Columbia University. And a contortionist and a hula hoop performer teamed up in Britain to break an unusual Guinness World Record involving a human belt. That happens to be the same size belt Lizzo needs in order to keep her pants on. Now, Liberty Barros wrapped herself around the middle of hula hooper Miriam Oleawola's body to break the record for the most double arm hula hoop rotations with a human belt in 30 seconds. But look, most men aren't that impressed because they can do way more in 30 seconds. Jerry Seinfeld apologized to Howard Stern after saying he didn't think the radio host was that funny. He promised that he'll only use the term not funny when describing hosts like Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel. Well, Jerry's not wrong because Howard was at his best when he was a shock jock, you know. But look, just like a Boeing aircraft, that simply doesn't fly in today's world. New York Knicks fans were caught yelling expletives at a broadcaster and former Indiana Pacer player Reggie Miller. They were so loud and obnoxious that you would have thought that they were attending a game in Philadelphia. Yeah, I mean, they were heard yelling, "F you, Reggie!" But look, that's just how people say hello in that city. And the city of San Francisco is providing free beer and vodka shots to homeless alcoholics at taxpayer expense under this little-known pilot program. And now everybody is completely shocked that Nancy Pelosi would have let anyone near her booze stash. You can expect plenty of shots in a city like San Fran, but we're talking about gunshots. Yeah. And according to a new Pew Research survey, 85% of American teens say they play video games, and about 40% say they do so every day, which means that they're actively avoiding their academic duty to log in plenty of hours of Call of Duty. 47% say gaming has led to friendships, which is kind of stunning because nobody was aware that gamers even had friends. And a Texas man recently reclaimed his Guinness World Record title by going skydiving at the age of 106 years and 327 days old. And, of course, he landed right in the parking lot of IHOP just as the early bird special began. Skydiving at 106 is pretty wild. I give this man a ton of credit for not soiling his depends like the president. And Britney Spears has revealed she has been walking on a broken foot after she injured it during an alleged fight with her boyfriend, Paul Solis. Sounds like this guy really blew it because he went from giving her the bone to breaking her bone. The pop star showed fans a comparison between her real foot and her injured foot, which appeared double in size with bruises around the ankle, heel, and toes. And, well, in this day and age, I'm surprised she didn't charge people for foot pics. And finally, Pittsburgh Pirates pitching phenom Paul Skeenes lived up to the hype in a wild rain-delay debut, and Pirate fans were visibly confused because they've never seen somebody with talent before.
Get up close and personal with My Stupid World by interacting with the podcast through Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World's Telegram channel. I post the actual articles used in the podcast episodes every weekend from the week's collection of stupidity. When you join the channel, you'll get to read the actual stories, see the actual photos, or watch the actual videos from the stupidity that is talked about in each episode. And you can even make comments about what you read or seen, even comments with your suggestions questions or opinions about what I've talked about. You can even share the links to some of the stupid stories that you've encountered. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane to see a preview of the channel and download Telegram Messenger, the app to your smartphone. It's also available in desktop versions as well, and it's supported on Windows, Linux, Apple, and Android platforms. Telegram is a secure messaging app that's gaining in popularity. You can learn more by visiting telegram.org.
I'm this genius. I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing or something.
And now this week's Genius Award.
And this week's Genius Awards, we have a Central Florida basketball coach who's in legal trouble after allegations surfaced that he misappropriated funds from his players for personal use, including purchasing subscriptions to the adult content platform OnlyFans. Additionally, Roderick Wilmot reportedly diverted money intended for his players' expenses toward vacations and gambling rather than fulfilling his obligations as their coach. Now, Wilmot, who runs Mont Sports Academy, a prominent basketball program in the Orlando area, faces multiple charges, including a scheme to defraud. According to the Osceola County Sheriff's Office, an investigation revealed that Wilmot rented vacation homes for his basketball program without paying for the players' accommodations, accumulating debts exceeding $19,000. Now, similar incidents occurred at Westgate Resorts, where Wilmot allegedly failed to settle a balance over $7,000. Now, investigators disclosed that Wilmot solicited thousands of dollars monthly from parents under the guise of a tuition, depositing the substantial amounts into his personal bank account. Financial records indicate that these funds were used for personal indulgences rather than benefiting the players. Authorities urge anyone with pertinent information regarding the case to come forward and assist in the ongoing investigation. So he used funds to pay for OnlyFans accounts. So basketballs weren't the only thing he was playing with, huh? Yeah. Coaches just hate when their players choke, you know, but this guy doesn't care because he's busy choking his chicken. And then there's this. If you want to go to jail in a hurry, here's the formula. A 33-year-old Florida man was taken to jail after he intentionally, carved his name, his own name, into a Broward County Sheriff's Office marked patrol car. His name, Indirlin Leonce, who got himself arrested and booked into the Broward County Jail on criminal mischief charge. According to a Martgate Police Department arrest affidavit, a witness reported seeing a man, later identified as Leonce, vandalizing the patrol car before taking off. When an officer arrived at the scene, they noticed the suspect had used a metal tool to etch "The name is Indirlin Leonce" on the side of the side hood of the patrol vehicle. Well, the officer completed a teletype check of the name and noticed he lived in a residence which was in the area where that incident occurred. So when the officer met with Leonce at his home, Leonce allegedly made multiple statements, including, "I did it, I committed a crime, and I should be going to jail." Well, he was also found carrying a metal joint pliers with green paint transfer on the tip of the tool, according to the affidavit. Leonce reportedly told the officer, "I was revolting because he wouldn't take me back to Haiti. And the officer should take me to the officer's house so I can tell him that I did it." Well, based on his statements and the evidence at the scene, police concluded that he intentionally, maliciously damaged the BSO deputy's car, the damage at about $1,000 for repair costs. So he carves his own name into a cop's patrol car. Those metal joint pliers might have been sharp, but he sure isn't. And it's a good thing he got some practice, because now he can seamlessly carve his name into the jail cell wall. And how about this? A 57-year-old Floridian living in the Villages has been ordered into anger management because he threw salami at a woman. He is Patrick Thomas Halig. He's been allowed to enter into a pretrial intervention contract that could enable him to escape prosecution on charges of battery and resisting arrest if he lives up to the terms of the contract, according to a document filed in Sumter County Court. Now, he must complete 12 hours of anger management and must have only peaceful contact with the woman he attacked. The woman, fled on the night of New Year's Eve to a nearby home in the villages of Liberty Park after Halig threw a piece of salami at her and struck her on the left cheek, according to the arrest report from the Sumter County Sheriff's Office. Halig tells the woman, "I threw it at you to get your attention." When deputies got to the home, the location of which was redacted from the arrest report, they found Halig, who was completely belligerent. Deputies attempted to place him into a patrol car, but Halig, who, by the way, is about 6 feet 2 inches tall, weighing 240 pounds, complained he was too large to fit in the vehicle. So a larger Chevy Tahoe model squad car was summoned to the scene. But Halig continued to refuse to get in. He used his dead weight to attempt to prevent deputies from putting him in the vehicle. Of course, he learned a valuable lesson. This is not how you give a woman your salami. The guy's lucky he didn't go to get jail time. I mean, otherwise he'd be dealing with even more meat. And what about this? A 54-year-old Florida woman, or Florida man, I should say, is accused of threatening a group of pickleball players with a machete at a North Naples community center. A call was received about a man threatening people at the courts shortly before midnight at the Pelican Marsh Community Center. Deputies said the man had a strong odor of alcohol. Now, according to the report, the victims and witnesses say Joseph Diwali aggressively approached the courts, yelling at them to leave while kicking and pushing chairs. Diwali then reportedly returned to his vehicle and grabbed this machete before threatening the victim, saying he would beat their arse. Well, Diwali told deputies he felt threatened by the victims after they told him to make them leave, so he grabbed the machete, being the macho man that he is, in an attempt to make them leave. Deputies then arrested Diwali and charged him with 4 counts of aggressive assault with a deadly weapon without intention to kill. So people like this are just so annoying. You know, and of course, I'm referring to everybody obsessed with pickleball. The good news is he won't be around pickleball courts anymore, but the bad news is he'll be hanging out on the prison basketball courts. And you got to check this one out. A 29-year-old Florida man has found himself behind bars after he allegedly sold $70 worth of meth to a criminal informant near a church. Joshua Malin was arrested and charged with selling methamphetamine with about 1,000 feet of a church area, possession of methamphetamine with intent to sell within 1,000 feet of a church, 2 counts of unlawful use of a two-way communication device, and 2 counts of keeping, owning, or maintaining a vehicle used to sell drugs, according to the arrest records. The investigation into the man began back in March of 2023, according to the arrest affidavit from the Sumter County Sheriff's Office. The Special Investigation Squad was conducting an undercover street-level narcotics operation, which called for a criminal informant to purchase $70 worth of methamphetamine from Malin. The drug was tested and came back positive for meth, according to the affidavit. The criminal informant was able to identify Malin from a photo lineup, and a year later he was taken into custody at the Sumter County Courthouse. The circumstances of his arrest were not made immediately clear, but Malin remains in custody at the Sumter County Detention Center on $70,000 bond. So this man really put the meth in Methodist, right? Yeah, actually, I hear he's starting a new denomination, the Crystal Methodists. Yeah. And you'll never believe this. A Waukesha, Michigan man and woman, separated by nearly 40 years in age, faced disorderly conduct charges for making whoopee at the Waukesha County Jail lobby. The accused, 28-year-old Desmond Cleveland and 67-year-old Karen Hill. According to the criminal complaint, the sheriff's deputy was dispatched to the Waukesha County Jail lobby for a possible disorderly conduct, lewd, lascivious call. The jail supervisor called to report two individuals had sex in the jail lobby and that the female, who was later identified as the defendant, Karen Hill, was still on the scene. The deputy was able to obtain video surveillance of the incident that happened around 3 in the morning, showed two individuals in the jail lobby engaging in sexual acts, according to the complaint. The deputy contacted Hill, who indicated Cleveland was her boyfriend and that they intended to hang out at a boarding house, but they got locked out. So they just walked into the jail lobby and took a nap. Defendant Hill did admit they had sexual intercourse and that it was consensual, according to the complaint. Hill indicated that she tried to cover them both up with articles of clothing so that no one would see them. The complaint goes on to say the pair had been dating for 5 years. When the deputy questioned Cleveland about what happened, the complaint says Cleveland stated, "Well, sex happens." Hill and Cleveland made their initial appearance at the Waukesha County Court on the disorderly conduct charges. Each have been given a signature bond of $1,000. I love how this lady just says, well, sex happens, like it's something totally out of her control. I mean, hey, it happens. What can you do about it, officer? Huh? She was placed in handcuffs, but they weren't the fuzzy ones. Okay, one more. Washington County Sheriff's Office was called to a residence on Sparling Road in Waterford Township, Ohio, after the homeowner found a weed eater and chainsaw that did not belong to them on their property. According to the officials, Deputy Tucker recovered the mysterious items and was on his way to secure the items at the sheriff's office when he was dispatched to the Newsted Road residence about 2/10 of a mile away. Well, it was reported that a male, unknown to the resident, had entered his home and was naked. When Deputy Tucker, with the assistance of Sergeant Parks, entered the home, the male, later identified as Thomas Nicholson, was found in the bathroom. Officials said Nicholson told deputies he did not remember how he got there, and he didn't know why he was naked. He denied taking the chainsaw and the weed eater when asked if he had recently stolen the found items. However, the homeowner on Newstead Road told the deputies they had heard a weed eater starting up outside soon after he had come in contact with Nicholson. Officials say the homeowners were able to identify the objects found to belong to a family member. Nicholson was placed under arrest and transported to the Washington County Jail, charged with burglary and theft. So imagine finding a naked stranger in your home. And the worst part of it, it wasn't even a woman. This guy'd stolen a chainsaw and a weed eater. I mean, these are two things that are normally used to complete jobs, which is something he clearly has no familiarity with. Well, hey, help spread the stupidity. Share the podcast with people that you think would be stupid enough to listen. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It's 5-star stupidity here, so give it a 5-star rating. When you rate and review the podcast, it helps it to show up prominently in those searches where people are searching for that stupidity. Don't forget, if you are streaming the podcast and you are in the middle of bad Wi-Fi or cell coverage, I suggest downloading the episode to your podcast player. I recommend Podcast Addict. It's a great option. It's one of the best out there for Androids. I know that it's free with two types of paid versions as well. And besides this episode, I've always got the weekend episode that drops right here in this feed where my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, will join me with his witty commentary when he takes over the episode to talk about all the stupidity. He'll also answer your questions with his sage wisdom. You can literally ask Pancho about anything. And you can test your skill against Pancho when we play the insane game show each week. After both episodes are published, I then post all the links of all the stories that we talked about on Telegram Messenger. Now, if you join the Insane Eric Lane Stupid World channel on Telegram, you can check out all those links and stories. You can even make comments about them. You can share them with your friends and even interact with the podcast there as well. Preview the channel, get a link to download the Telegram Messenger at t.me/insaneericlane. t.me/insaneericlane. It's free. It's available in desktop or mobile versions for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple platforms. Don't forget, you can follow me on social media, also using the handle @insaneericlane on Facebook or X. And don't forget to drop by my website at insaneericlane.com. And then finally, ponder this. Every day, I walk outside with the best intentions and the right attitude. And then idiots happen.
Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World is produced with the support from EnvisionWise, LLC, and AmeriCountry.com, from Wise Brother Media, Universal Comedy at the United Stations Radio Network, SheetHappens.com, Good Parts Media, and Mr. Laughs.
Theme music from Randy Stonehill. It's a Great Big Stupid World. Copyright 1992 Stonehillian Music. Word Music, Twitch and Vibes Music, and is available anywhere you purchase music.
Thanks for making it to the end of Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World. Please be sure to seek therapy to ensure you still have your wits with you. And if this has inspired you to try your hand at making a podcast, you can do it absolutely free with Spotify for Podcasters. The editing and music library are at your fingertips with Spotify for Podcasters. Download the app from your favorite app store.